All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at FLA 8, which goes down on March the 18th. A very intriguing bout set for the main card as Jesse Hartz and Isaiah Metatuck get out there to test skills, and it's always great having Isaiah on the show. How's it going, man?
Good, man. Good to finally be talking to you again.
Yeah, right. It's been a little bit, to say the least, since you've been in competition, been a bit over like a year and a half and everything, and obviously there's factors as to, you know, why that is, but like, what's the feeling getting ready to, you know, return to competition? I'd think you'd be pretty elated.
Yeah, honestly, man, more so than even, you know, being happy or being excited, I just, you know, I feel prepared. It's been coming up on 20 months, so, you know, getting close to 2 years, and, you know, in that time away, you know, I've had a lot of fights fall through, a lot of cancellations, but I definitely feel like I've made the most of it, and, you know, I've improved everywhere, physically, mentally, and I'm really, really prepared and really ready to show that I've hit that next level come March 18th.
Yeah, and I mean, like, not a great situation, obviously, like, as you alluded to, like, a pair of bouts falling through, like, that Liam Gallagher fight for BTC, and then the Noah Croswell fight, which that was more so like an event cancellation, as I recall. But yeah, it seemed like there was a, you know, situation where you were like in a, you know, not so great way about it, understandably frustrated. But like, what do you, I guess, ultimately take out of that? Is it just something where it's like, oh, hey, like kind of a tumultuous year a little bit, but clean slate for 2023 and come back even stronger? Is that kind of like the idea in that situation, I guess?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, obviously it sucks, and I don't think anybody is ever excited to have a fight canceled, but really, you know, there's no use crying over spilled milk. There's not much I can do about it, so just, you know, stay on the horse, keep moving forward, and stay ready, and, you know, I stayed ready, and now it's time to go, so it definitely is great to be getting back in there.
Yeah, and very excited to talk about this fight and a lot of other relevant matters too, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't get some, you know, insights on this, because like, as we were talking about, like, you weren't able to compete throughout the last calendar year, but it seemed like you were up in the bush getting in some work to try to, I guess, get a bit of disposable income to kind of, you know, keep training in BC and stuff like that. Like, what were you know, doing up there in the bush? What were you working on there?
So I've been up here because I went down to BC August 1st. And let me tell you, BC is expensive, and with training and then trying to find something that worked with training work-wise, and, you know, just a bunch of stuff happened. It didn't really work out financially, so, you know, I still, like I always say, there, still home. You know, I still live there, but to make money in Alberta is a hell of a lot easier, so I came up here. I spent a couple of months, you know, working up in the bush as a welder's helper in the oil field. You know, lots of long days, lots of working outside in the cold, but I got that done. I still managed to train quite regularly, and yeah, so it was a good experience overall.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear, man, and it seems like the experience over there has been great in general. Like, I saw you had a post, and it's not been like quite a year, but I mean, getting closer to that point than not. Like, you were talking about like calling Grand Prairie home for around like 17 years and then, you know, going off to Vancouver and everything. Like, how has the, I guess, entirety of the training experiences been over there for you? Because like I was saying there, you're obviously, you know, tipping the cap to the rich like Grand Prairie MMA culture that's out there, but it seems like you've been getting in a lot of great work with like Devin Kajic and, you know, some different guys like that.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is obviously here we've got some incredible coaching with, you know, Bill Mahood, Randy Mahon, Gray Patino, Luis Martinez, you know, all those guys that have been with me since day one. Not only does BC have, you know, incredible coaching with, like you mentioned, Dayhan, you know, I've worked a lot with Colt Smith as well, who's just got such a great mind for MMA. My professor, Viviana Fernandez, is down there, who, you know, I don't even say anything. If you know anything about MMA, you know how good Bibby is.
Yeah.
But just the quality of guys, right? Like, that's kind of, you know, that's why I moved away. That's why Alex Martinez moved away. Spencer Jeb, you know, we've had a lot of, for being a town of about 70,000, we've had, you know, quite a few high-level guys come out of here. And I just, you know, I got to the point where I needed training partners who were going to beat me up and who were going to push me to that next level. And, you know, there with guys like Josh Kukowski, Taylor Christopher, Brandon LeBrec, you know, I could be here all day naming names, but, you know, those are the guys that are going to, you know, maybe win the majority of the rounds against me and, you know, put it on me more than I'm getting here. And that's what I need if I'm going to get to that next level. So it was, it's definitely a move I don't regret at all.
So I'm just curious, like, are you like out in BC now or are you in Grand Prairie at the time where kind of, you know, having this talk?
No, I'm in Grand Prairie right now. I was actually planning to go back to BC on the 10th that weekend. And then me and Cole were kind of going back and forth on what to do about a fight because I was in negotiations with a different promotion. And then he brought up this fight, and, you know, I liked the matchup and liked everything around it. But with it being, you know, literally a week after I was planning to go back, even he said, like, there's no point in doing pretty much my whole camp up here, then taking about a week off to drive back there just so I can fly out of there. And, you know, it just logistics-wise, it didn't really make sense. So I'm going to go down there, bang out this win, come back, take a couple days to, you know, recharge and say my goodbyes, and then head back to BC.
Yeah, I guess the only reason I thought to ask, because in mentioning, you know, Josh Kwiatkowski, like, it seems like you guys have really gotten in that great work. And, I mean, his fight, like, albeit a little bit later, but he's got that BFL fight coming towards, like, the end of March there. So I would think that maybe you'd be, you know, getting in some work towards, like, the respective end of your guys' camps there. Like, I feel like that could probably dovetail together kind of nicely.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's always awesome getting in work with Josh. He's like a brother to me, and he's got a really good mind for the sport, and he's very good at breaking things down and, you know, explaining them and putting things in a way that you understand. So, you know, I always love getting into work with the Juggernaut. That's actually who I live with down there. Unfortunately, just didn't really line up this camp, but I will be back in time for his fight, so I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's going to be a, you know, great one too. And yeah, I mean, he's a fun fighter to follow along with too. I've got an interview with him from a little bit ago that I'm looking to drop too. So yeah, no, definitely a, you know, talented fighter, and it's cool that you're, you know, splitting time between these great gyms and stuff like that. I mean, you've always been part of that, like, you know, Bibiano Fernandez jiu-jitsu lineage, but just, you know, getting in that, like, consistent regular direct work with someone like that, I would think would really, like, you know, pay dividends, just even outside of, like, the actual, I guess, application of technique, just that, like, I guess, world champion proven mentality, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, and that's just it. You hit the nail on the head there, right? Like, getting to be around all these guys, like, you know, Bibby, who's at, like, the peak of the sport, right? You know, Dejan Kayak, who probably for MMA and boxing, and his way of explaining things is just, he's such a smart guy. His attention to detail is just, you know, beyond belief. And then, like I mentioned earlier with Cole and how good he is, you know, tying everything together. And then you've got, you know, guys like Tristan Connolly, Jamie Siraj down there, who have, you know, either made it to the pinnacle of the sport or about to. So, you know, getting to not only train with them, but just see how they approach things and their mentality and their outlook has really, you know, changed a lot of my views for the better. So yeah, it's definitely been good in that regard.
Yeah, and just a very cool journey in the sport in general. I mean, you obviously have many more chapters to come, but just in the context of, like, where you came from at one point, like, when you kind of began the journey, and just at different junctures throughout, like, when you were, like, homeless at one point and, like, couch, you know, surfing and things of that nature, like, just seems like a great kind of journey in that regard. Just really seems like you're, like, carving out a good path for yourself and getting out of, you know, some of those situations that are less than ideal, to, you know, say the very least.
Yeah, you know, I've always said it, you know, if I didn't have MMA, I'd be dead or in jail or, you know, probably not on a really good path. And that's probably the case for not only a lot of fighters, but a lot of athletes in general, right? And, you know, getting to look back on all these memories and, you know, remember where I was at this fight, you know, where I was at this fight, and just kind of see, like you said, the gradual, you know, progression and growth and maturation. It's been cool to look back on for sure.
Yeah, and it's curious because, like, when we were talking a while ago, like, this was before that, you know, unified card that ended up getting, like, scrapped from the pandemic and stuff like that. But, like, when we were kind of talking before, it was interesting because you were saying that like one of the big like bits of growth in your game, because at that point it was like about a year from like when we had first done an interview, like you were saying the composure was like the big part of your game that leveled up. Like, how much have you leveled up in terms of like the mental game, you know, since then? Like, it had been 3 years since that kind of quote came out from the article. Like, what's the growth looking like on like a, you know, fight science, like fight IQ level for you?
You know, honestly, it's been, I can't even put it into words, man. Like, just my whole outlook on not only fighting, but life itself has really changed. And I've really learned to, you know, take the emotional side out of it and just look at it logically. You know, this is just a puzzle I got to solve, just like a fight. Like, it's a puzzle I got to solve. Jesse hurts, puzzle I got to solve. Anything that comes up in life, just a puzzle I got to solve, right? And when you eliminate, you know, feelings of whether it's, you know, maybe I'm really sad and worried about this fight, you know, maybe I'm super giddy and excited about this fight, but when I eliminate those and I just look at it from a pure, you know, logical standpoint, it makes things a lot easier to assess and, you know, pick apart. Okay, how do I beat this? Like, how do I get this done? So it's been awesome for sure.
Yeah, and in undulating with that thought, just kind of like looking at what the next task could be, like, what have you seen on like a tape study level with your opponent? Like, it seems like based on some of the, you know, aggregators that are out there that he's getting in that island kickboxing work, and he does have a kickboxing win to his credit, like, hasn't really like had it in like the, you know, results kind of sense of like the win lose binary, whereby he's getting the results in an MMA kind of sense, but like seems like he's like pretty adept in the stand up. What would you say his big, I guess, stylistic attributes would be?
Yeah, you know, he's a big, strong kid, definitely. He's, for better or for worse, he's fearless, and, you know, he doesn't take a step backward. Like you said, he did have a win in kickboxing. His record isn't, I don't think, indicative necessarily of how good he is. You know, as much as I hate to give the kid credit, you know, Jericho, you know, he is legit, right? And it physically pains me to say that, but, you know, he is legitimate, as is the other guy he lost to, and, you know, he got stopped by them both, and they're both good grapplers. But, yeah, I think his biggest attribute is he's like a bull, right? So I gotta go out there and play the matador to it and just out-finesse him.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too. It's like the record doesn't necessarily, like, paint that full picture. It's like the context of the performances and, you know, who they were fighting against and stuff like that. So yeah, that's why I love this kind of point in the, you know, careers of different fighters who are kind of like within their first like couple fights, few fights. Like, obviously you have like a deeper amateur pedigree than he does, but yeah, just very interesting. It's like the record doesn't necessarily indicate like what the person's bringing to the table. So yeah, I mean, it's cool in that kind of sense, but just also getting to kind of have like an East Coast fighting foray here, like, what are your thoughts on that? Have you gotten to kind of like go out to like New Brunswick as much, or have you been to Moncton, or is this kind of going to be a first?
Yeah, no, this is a total first. I've only ever fought in Alberta and in BC, so when they offered to, you know, fly me down there and put me up and all that, that was great. I mean, obviously at the end of the day, it's a business trip. I'm going down there to Wabass, but it is still cool. It's a, you know, I guess a bucket list thing to get all these, you know, places I've checked off on the list. So, you know, when I'm 60 and crippled, I can look at all the different places I got to go and all the memories I got to make and all the belts on the mantle, right? So that is a cool aspect of it, I guess.
Yeah, and it just seems like they're doing some great stuff over there. Like, not like the fact that there hasn't historically been some other previous promotions out there, but I feel like it had been at least like a little bit since there was like a regular kind of East Coast show. So like, I guess just in the sense of seeing that, I guess, vibrancy and activity in the overall Canadian scene, I definitely enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome right now. And especially for us fighters, you know, like myself, who maybe don't necessarily, as of right now, have the prettiest record, or, you know, maybe they've got a really good record, but they're only 2-0, right? And it's a lot easier for guys like that to get on a show like FLA that are giving myself and, you know, guys like that chances versus Unified and Battlefield. And don't get me wrong, what they're doing is absolutely incredible. I think they're growing Canadian MMA at the fastest it's ever been. But with that being said, then being on Fight Pass and, you know, having the affiliation with the UFC, they're going to want the guys that are, you know, 6-0, 7-1, you know, borderline UFC, right? And how do we get guys to that level in Canada if we're not giving them a chance to fight and get these wins and get the experience? And it's been great not only to have that, but they've also been great to deal with as well. So no complaints on my end.
Yeah, for sure. That's a really good point. It kind of reminds me of like the media industry in a certain regard, like just in the context of like, oh yeah, it's like an entry level job, but you need like 5 years of experience. It's like, what?
No, exactly, right? How do you get the experience necessary if you're not given the platform to gain it, right? So yeah, exactly.
And it kind of just speaks to the prior point too of like the record doesn't necessarily like paint the full picture. Like the skill set can kind of belie like the, you know, numbers and stuff like that for sure. I mean, as much as this is a fight where it's like a 1-1 individual against someone who's, or an 0-1 individual against someone who's, you know, 1-2 rather, it's like, I feel like the skill set you guys have is just so much greater than, you know, how it even was a few years ago. Like, I love that about MMA. It's like, I feel like many years ago, you'd see guys in their first, like, few professional fights, first couple, and I feel like the skill set now has just grown leaps and bounds for sure.
Oh, for sure. And a lot of it, too, is indicative of who you fought. Like, not only did I see it with him, with, you know, his losses being the tough guys, but then, you know, you look at my record, even dating back to my amateur days, you know, I mean, he ended up becoming my coach and one of the top-ranked diamond kickboxers in Canada in Great Britannia. And then, you know, I fought Albara, and then I fought Aaron Ansell, who was the number 2-ranked 155 amateur in Canada. I fought Connor Krebs, who was, you know, the number 10-ranked. And then, you know, you look at all three of my pro fights have been against really experienced, really tough guys. So I definitely think, too, that's something to take into consideration as well is, you know, you can be 5-0 and everybody wants to be that, but does it mean as much if you're beating a bunch of tomato cans? So.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, I mean, very stacked resume you've had so far, like fighting like both of the, you know, Atma brothers and stuff like that. I mean, you see like all the different trajectories of some of these different guys. And I mean, yeah, you're definitely within that too and everything like that, getting, you know, this next fight lined up and everything like that. And yeah, I'm very curious to see it because I mean, like we were talking about, it's been getting on close to 2 years now. Like I feel like you'd almost be showing like a completely like new like permutation of yourself, like Isaiah Metatuck like 2.0 or something like that here.
Man, it almost feels like this is Isaiah Metatuck 3.0. but yeah, you know, you're 100% correct in saying that. Obviously I'm not gonna spill all my secrets just quite yet, but I think there's going to be a lot of bad old habits gone and a lot of new skills added that people are going to take note of and take note of very quickly. So it'll be good to get to reap the rewards of these last, you know, 20 months worth of work.
Yeah, for sure, man. And maybe this isn't even something you're thinking of just in the context of like returning after a kind of lengthy hiatus and stuff like that. But is there a certain strength of schedule you'd ideally like to have this year? Like, is there a total number of fights in mind that you have at all?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just waiting until after this fight because Jesse Hurts is like the sole focus right now. But I do have my next fight lined up after this, which I will be putting out there shortly after. And as far as strength of schedule goes, I'd like to fight 3 or 4 times this year. Like I'd like to stay busy. I'd like to kind of make up for lost time and, you know, use this year to get my record up, you know, get above 500, get a winning record, put myself in a good spot to really, you know, start making a run to, you know, contender series or LFA or PFL, you know, next year, a little bit after next year. So I definitely want to be busy this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, also PFL is doing like some challenger series stuff now, so it's good to see that like other promotions are kind of like, I guess, having that similar circuit. Just in our, you know, previous conversation about like there being opportunities and platforms provided for fighters, so I do like seeing certain stuff like that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. We're even seeing some Canadians get on already. I mean, I don't know why nobody wants to sign the guy. He's so freaking good. But, you know, you look at Anthony Romero, he's my agent. He's already fought in the Contender Series and now PFL Challenger Series. And even though he's getting Jude on his contract, it's still giving him not only so much high-level experience, but so many eyes on him that it's bound to lead him somewhere, right? So it's really good to see guys getting that exposure.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where it kind of like illustrates a certain thing in the sport where it's like almost kind of baffling because on a level of athletic performance, it's like this guy should be signed to one of these big leagues. But yeah, who knows? I feel like it's kind of just a matter of time there and everything. But you've been good with your time, man. It's always fun getting to, you know, chop it up with you. It's been too long since we've had a, you know, fight interview, but I do want to be, you know, cognizant of the rest of your schedule today too, man. So to that point, is there anything you might want to add as like a final parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here, Isaiah?
March 18th, I'm back and I'm victorious. Let's go.
I love it. I'm very excited for it. Should be a great card. FLA 8 going through. And yeah, very excited to see this next fight and everything. And I do appreciate you coming on and giving insights ahead of it. So to reiterate, looking forward to peeping this fight when it goes down. But until then, you have a good rest of your day there, Isaiah.
Yeah, you too, man. Thank you for your time. Ciao.